Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott, Derek Scott, Kellen Kennedy joining you. Oilers Now, 3-hour non-game day edition in the playoffs. The team will practice tomorrow. We fly to Vancouver tomorrow afternoon. Brendan Escott will host Oilers Now tomorrow, and then I will be live. And I am pleased to report we are actually in our normal broadcast location in Rogers Arena. So that's great. Sometimes we get booted out of there for NHL radio. We'll tell you some guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply serving a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. 9990 Jasper Avenue, Roost Chris, the 99th Roost Chris, the one in Edmonton, as part of Roost Chris. Open Tuesday through Sunday, 5 p.m. until close, 4 o'clock in order, game days. It's a Monday, MacTM Mondays for Michael and the staff at Contract Equipment Limited, Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. And just so everybody's completely understanding of this, just this show is called Oilers Now. The name of the team is the Edmonton Oilers. And the host on this show supports oil and gas. So you're allowed to think whatever you want. That's okay. But understand that I'm going to support the industry that's helped support a lot of us in this province for the last, I don't know, 70 years or so. Actually, they haven't just supported us in this province. That industry's helped support the entire country. That's my disarration. Have at it. We're all allowed to think whatever the way we want. Just, I want to be up front with you. You know what I'm saying, Mac T? Like, there shouldn't be any...
That's your political soapbox message for the day.
Yeah, the team's called the Oilers. The show's called Oilers Now, and you know what? I love oil and gas, okay? We're going to need it.
And the Eskimos are called what again?
The Elks. They're called the Elks. Even though one day we'll do a whole show on that, about how that all went down, because it wasn't what people thought.
Yeah.
All right. But just before, and we're going to hit on something here. One of your, you liked him as a guy, you didn't like him as a player, but he was a funny dude. Not everybody likes his politics these days, but that's Dustin Penner, and he got me hooked on these celebrity roasts. Your last year coaching the Oilers in 08-09, I don't know if it was having to coach Dustin Penner or having to work with yours truly. You said, screw it, that's enough. I don't know.
It was a tie, Bob. It was a dead heat, like that Kentucky Derby the other day.
Yes, there you have it.
Dead heat. Penner might have had you by a nose.
Here we go. So here's the deal. Dustin had the whole collection of the roasts that we used to watch on the plane, and Rod Phillips and myself would just sit there and howl nonstop. And we brought this up because last night was the Tom Brady roast, and I was playing a snippet from it when you came into the studio today. You watch it. Pretty funny stuff, hey? If you can find
Bill Belichick funny.
Yeah. Well, who knew?
Who knew? No, he was pretty stiff, but... you know, it was well received. It was not PG, that's for sure.
But that's the way, that's what you sign up for with that stuff.
For the roast, yeah.
Yeah, part of humor, and humor is a subjective thing, as all of our listeners know. What one person thinks is funny, others don't. But you know what? Maybe don't take yourself so seriously. Wes Montgomery told me 30 years ago, Stoff, you're not always going to be in shape. You might get old and fat. I'm just warning you right now. You drink a lot of Bailey's and
might.
Will?
Yeah, Will.
He goes, so don't be afraid to be self-deprecating. Because, you know, people like, you know, and that comes with, don't take yourself too seriously. Think about what we do. Like, we work in sports, Mac T. We talk about sports. Like, we're not sitting there fighting a war, for God's sakes. Like, we're working on the... Brandon used to refer to it as the toy department of life. Like, this is a big Edmonton, Vancouver. There's a rivalry between the cities. They don't game. They're playing a damn game. Have some fun with it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the city is having a ball with it.
Yeah.
I live downtown, and it's amazing to me every playoff run just... how electric it is downtown. And, you know, I always give Daryl Cates a lot of credit for the vision to put that all in there and build all the towers and the apartments and the restaurants and bars and things that go with it. And it's just made an incredible experience for all of us hockey fans. And,
yeah,
and the city is, you know, firmly behind it. They've got the tent across the street for the people that can't afford to go to the games to enjoy the atmosphere. They've got the plaza too as well, which is right underneath my window. And there's a little bit of a delay between my TELUS cable and what the direct feed to the plaza. So I'll get a big ovation about 20 seconds before the Oilers score on my TV, which gives me a little bit of a heads up to pay attention.
Yeah.
And but yeah, the fans are just going crazy. Hopefully we can get through another series and continue to progress.
All right, well, let's talk about the series that was between Edmonton and the Los Angeles Kings. The Oilers went 7 games against the Kings in 2022. The Kings did not have in that series Drew Doughty nor Victor Arvidsson. Edmonton was down 3-2 after 5 games in that series, had to win Game 6 in L.A., did, and then won Game 7 at home. But again, no Doughty, no Arvidsson. Last year, the Oilers down 2-1 after L.A. scored in overtime for both their wins in that series, and were down 3-0 in Game 4, rallied, and came back and won the series in 6. This year, then they had all their guys. The Kings were completely healthy. They had all their horses. And the Edmonton Oilers took them out in 5. And the only game L.A. won was an overtime game in game number 2. The Oilers blew them out in game 1 and game 3, won tight games in game 4 and game 5. Is this a sign that Edmonton's building a better program? They got a better team? Your thoughts on Edmonton vanquishing the Kings in 5 games?
I think it's a real positive sign that... 7 games and 6 games and 5 games. And we are progressing. We've got a lot better depth. I mean, the third period that we played to close it out in game 5 was a real smart, mature period. They scored with about 5 minutes to go to make it tight. But, we have more depth. And a lot of these guys are pretty unheralded right now, but they through the first series we're all speaking glowingly of them. And I will say that I've never been on a team as a player where I've got eliminated and said I had a good series. I mean, the competition goes up with every round that you're in, and the tougher the competition, the tougher it is to have success. And we've gone through one round, so players like Matthias Janmark was exceptional. Derek Ryan, exceptional. Vinny Desharnais was awesome. Cody Ceci was really good. Ryan Holloway. Unheralded guys that are, they're not necessarily scoring much, Ryan did, but they're doing their job. They're adding physical play. They're killing penalties. I mean, the whole story for that series was the Oilers' penalty kill. And I maintain that that's the most critical component of any success that we may have going forward. We've got to kill the penalties. We know we're going to score on the power play. 5-on-5 goals. I heard Kenny Holland on my way over here. They're hard to get. I mean, Vancouver had 7 in the first series. We, I think, had 9. 5-on-5 goals?
Well, they had 9 power play goals.
Maybe they had
11 power play goals.
Yeah.
They had a goal with
3
seconds and a goal with 4 seconds elapsed on the power play. Mac T, at the end of the day, the Oilers were, it says they were 9-for-20 on the power play, which is 45%. They were actually 11-for-18, and I'll explain why. They got a power play goal 4 seconds after it elapsed.
Right, yeah.
And 3 seconds after.
For sure.
There's your 11. And The final power play they had in game one was in garbage time. The first unit never saw the ice. The final power play they had in game three never saw the ice. And then the power play at the end of the game on the penalty on Draisaitl with 20 seconds left. So you can make an argument. They were like 11 for 17 or 18 when it actually mattered in the game.
Yeah, and they had 12 5-on-5 goals. But you're right. Two of those were effectively power play goals. So the now, really 10. Vancouver had 8 in their series.
Yeah, well, they got it. But Vancouver has something, Craig. And I wasn't going to get to this right away, but we might, since we're talking about the power play, Drew Doughty's a hell of a player. He's not as dynamic as Quinn Hughes on the power play. Quinn Hughes is a significant upgrade on Drew Doughty offensively. I think you'd agree on that. And JT Miller is... you tried to get in on JT Miller when you GM'd the team a number of years ago. We'll get you to tell that story. If you had pulled that off, that might have... that would have been a...
Well, yeah. The Messiers were all over JT Miller. And Paul was the scout for us at that point, and he had him pegged.
And you were trying to, who were you offering up to try to get him? You're going to get them, try to get them to bite on somebody at that time, right?
Yeah, I can't even really remember what it was.
Yak.
Yeah.
Yakupov.
Yeah. That was tough. I tried to get Larson out of New Jersey for Yak when they sat out Larson.
Yeah.
And so I called Lou, and that wasn't a friendly conversation.
He told you to go, know what?
I can't trade him for Dale Yakupov.
Well, okay.
They're both healthy scratches. They're both pretty close to first picks overall. It was worth a call.
Hey, got to try. So JT Miller instead of Fiala.
Hughes.
And Hughes instead of Doughty. Vancouver's got a better power play. They have more dynamic players. Like, those guys are better than the Oilers went 12 for 12 in the PK, but they're going up against a better power play. And that power play sliced and diced Edmonton in the two games in Vancouver earlier this year. Now, Craig, here's the stat du jour. Chris Knobloch comes in, and the Oilers used 23 forward sets on the PK in the first 13 games of the season. 23 forward sets in the first 13 games. Chris came in. He limited the amount of guys in the PK. So the first unit is going to be at forward, is going to be Derek Ryan and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And then he's going to try to get... Now, I will mention to you that the Oilers are in a situation here where we've not seen Kane nor Henrique in the lineup. The first guy coming in, if one of those guys can't play, is going to be Connor Brown. Now, those have been maintenance days. They're probably playing. But the second unit that they've used is either McLeod and Janmark or McLeod and Fogles. They've used a lot of the same guys. Henrik's done a little bit of penalty killing, too. But they've got guys with defined roles. But Vancouver's got a good power play. It's going to be. I guess what I'm saying to you is, do you expect it to be a bigger challenge, the Canucks' power play, than LA's?
I absolutely do. And you have a world-class player on the right flank in Elias Pettersson, who's not on top of his game right now. And if we can keep him down, he's very much a confidence player. And if he shoots one in the net early, he's going to be a problem. But he's yet to have scored in the playoffs. And I think his confidence, he has peaks and valleys, unlike a lot of superstars. And I mean, he's on that right flank. He can really shoot the puck. We're going to have to do a good job not letting him get inside the dots, because he can score from there, as can JT Miller from the other side. You've got
Besser, who's
Quinn Hughes at the top, who moves so beautifully on the blue line. His lateral motion and his skating ability and his agility is a little Connor-like. He's that agile, and he's tough to corner. And then you have Elias Lindholm, a right-hander in the bumper position, and you have Besser, who's got 4 goals in the Nashville series, and he's definitely in a beautiful pass on the game winner.
And he got 6 goals against Edmonton in two games in Vancouver this year. So
we'll have to be hard on him.
So we're agreeing there, obviously, with all due respect to L.A.,
They're going to be.
Vancouver's a bigger challenge, or a better team.
And Mark Stewart has done an unbelievable job. I mean, it'll be really interested to see any adjustments he's going to make in terms of our style of penalty kill. He pressured down pretty heavily against LA, which was great. And obviously, the success speaks for itself. It's, I mean, and our power. I've always wondered why opposing teams don't take Connor away on the breakout. I mean,
because that's what Berube did. Well, you guys tried to do that in St. Louis, didn't you?
We did, yeah. We did. We let the gap grow, and we faced four on threes at the blue line rather than Connor with a bunch of speed.
Yeah.
And I don't know why teams don't try that at least. I don't know that it would work because, you know, the other four guys are pretty good playmakers too, and four against three is a decidedly better advantage than five against four, but that one, that four is Connor. You want to try and take, because he's pretty much an automatic entry whenever he gets the puck on the delay.
LA Kings in the 3 years against Edmonton in the playoffs, Edmonton went 25 of 55 on the power play. I mean, that's how you lose the series every year. Like, I mean, it was 9-0 in round number one for Edmonton. 4:49, Mac T on Mondays again for Contract Equipment Limited. Bob Stauffer with you. We'll return after this. All right, only because this is an awesome handle, we're going to roll with it. Hey, Bob, this text comes in on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Craig McTavish is here. Mac T on Monday is brought to you by Contract Equipment Limited, Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. Ashley Fine Floors text line, Les Nessman's landlord has texted us. Hey, Bob, wasn't there like 8,000 fans of the stands in Vancouver when the Oilers played them in the 86 playoffs? Maybe Mac T will remember. Thanks from Les Nessman's landlord.
Les Nessman's landlord is exactly right.
Yeah, there was nobody in the game.
There wasn't that many people in the building at that point.
You smoked. It was like a mercy kill. It was a best of five, right? And you guys,
we mopped them up pretty good.
Yeah, and then lost to Calgary in seven, obviously, in 86, and won the Cup three of the next 4 years. I remember 92. They were the favorite in round two. They had home ice.
Yeah.
And you guys beat them in six, and you had one line in particular.
Yeah, Bernie, Joe Murphy, and Vinny Damfus. Those guys had talent. They weren't the most engaged guys always. But like Vinny, I mean, you know, everybody prepares for games differently, but Vinny was quite different. He'd be laying in the back on the couch, and, you know, you'd get him 10 minutes before we went out for warm-up, and he'd come in the room, and then when the game was on, no, he could play. And that line was really good in that series.
Was he the guy in the punch-up in Piastani that didn't...
No.
That was not him.
No, that was not him.
It was not him. There was someone that didn't join the brawl.
I'm not going to say.
You're not going to say?
No.
But we can confirm it was not Vincent Domfus.
Confirm it was not Domfus.
Oh, I know who it was.
Yeah.
A guy that had a Hall of Fame career. Guy played a lot.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
And a former teammate of mine and an all-time good guy and a pacifist. Like, I think, he played Turgeon.
Pierre Turgeon,
And, you know, like, a lot of times that takes more courage to stand on that bench and not go into the, than it would to jump over and get in the fray, because you know how you're going to get... especially back in those days, you're going to be attacked by not doing it. And, you know, for him, he was an amazing guy, a classy guy, but he chose not to.
That's his choice.
It's like Muhammad Ali not going to Vietnam. You know, it takes a lot to make a stand like that.
Well, those guys, it was scary out there. Like Everett Sever, we're talking about the 87 punch-up in Piastani. Everett Centerpass, his father was an RCMP. He was... Like, he might have had some martial arts training, and he was dropping guys left.
Yeah.
And then I think was Keane on that team as well, Mike Keane, because he pound for pound.
He was a tough customer. he played with Bucky and Moose Jaw, and
Those guys. All right, both of them. What I remember about Game 6 in Edmonton back in 92, Mac T, is the late Pat Quinn was coaching the Canucks. They were the favorite. You guys shut them out in Game 6 at home. And I remember Pat chucking his gum out. He was all upset. And they ended up in the Stanley Cup Final a couple of years later in 94. Oh, wait, you beat them that year too, didn't you?
I've had some success against the Canucks over the years.
Yeah.
Hopefully it continues.
Yes, hopefully it does continue.
Yeah.
And Quinn was still there. And that 94 series at times when you were at the Rangers against Vancouver. But you're up 3-1 in that series. Like, you were at the end of the day, were you just... Were you, Was your 92 team better than the Canucks 92 team? You guys knew how to win. They didn't know how to win yet. Did that?
Yeah, I think the Nichols line was really good in that series.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stop them. And, but I don't remember too much more about it than that.
94 series when you were with the Rangers. I mean, that's got to be an amazing experience for you. You're out there taking the draw at the end of the game. Mark was pretty dominant player. Zubov and Leach in the back end. They had some really good.
Yeah.
You were probably, with all due respect to Kirk McLean, you were better in goal. You had Richter.
Kirk McLean was really good in that series.
Was he?
He won the first game for them. They won the first game. Then we won the next three. But Kirk McLean, we outplayed them handily. And, I always maintain the series shouldn't have gone on as long. And they always refer to the post that was hit in the 3-2 part late. I think it was Martin Jelena that hit the post.
I remember game five, you're at home. You're down 3-0 with the Rangers at
home. Right,
and then you came back and tied it. Messier scored one of those goals where he, lifted the back leg and ripped one past. And that's the way Mark was. He could do that, right?
And then boom, boom, it was 5-3. We're out of it again.
Yeah.
I mean, that was maybe as disappointed as I've ever been.
Because the party was already,
hockey.
Really?
Oh God, I mean, it's exhausting to win a championship in the NHL. I mean, you're just so beat up and tired, and it's just you want to end it so much in Game Five, and the Stanley Cup's there, and the champagne's on ice, and but as we've talked about before, a lot of times in that situation, you play the game not to lose, and you play too conservatively because you don't want to blow it. And they play looser. And
hey, 87 game 5-2. You're up 3-1 in that game in Edmonton, and you had to go back to Philly for game 6 and then back for game 7. I'm going to tell you a story about what happened in 06 when you were coaching the team, and then we'll get back on the rails with the Oilers in Vancouver. Craig McTavish, Matt T.M. Monday is brought to you by Contract Equipment. Off to a global news weather traffic update, Randy Kilburn.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.